You don't really think of the progressive movement as being a Southern phenomenon, but there was a distinct branch of Southern progressivism calling for state intervention in different ways in a region of the country that usually had a pretty limited government kind of orientation. So you see a number of things. You see efforts to end convict labor and child labor movements and other progressive reform movements of the day, including liquor reform. So it's kind of interesting. They're looking to the state for a solution in a region that had been historically kind of leery about too much state intervention.
But in Georgia, prohibition and race intersected, didn't it?
Sure. And one of the factors was the lead up to and the events of the 1906 Atlanta race riot, where the saloons along Decatur Street, and there were probably 50 saloons along Decatur Street and probably 100 saloons in the downtown area and extending a little bit to the east, the saloons along Decatur Street were seen in racialized terms, you know, where there were rumors of black men gazing on naked white women in the bars of Decatur Street and rumors of racial intermingling in these dark places. And the storyline would be that black men would be aroused, get drunk or high in these saloons, go out and commit speakable acts, and then return undetected and slip away into the night of the saloons. And so very much there's this anxiety about the Decatur Street dives, as they were called. And it's one of the precipitant causes of the Atlanta race riot, this appeal to racial fears and manipulation of racist images.
Most Georgia counties had outlawed alcohol by the 1906 governor's election.
That's right. You had the notion of local option, where individual counties could opt in or opt out. And the debate over prohibition is a real urban-rural debate. It really falls along these urban-rural fault lines, where overwhelmingly people in urban areas are wets and people in rural areas are dries, as the terminology was. And so it reflects this larger kind of urban-rural divide that the two Georgias, you know, this notion of that there's the metropolitan areas and then there's the rural areas and there's a real gap between them, this notion that from time to time you've seen sort of in public. This is really when this notion kind of appears, and the liquor issue is very much involved with it. There's another matter that is involved in that women play a very active role in the debates at the legislature. So interestingly enough, it's one of the first places where women in large numbers sort of extend their position in public space and take a more prominent public role. Women, by and large, had been confined to private roles in the household. And the debate over prohibition is actually one of the first times where women take a commanding central public role.
In 1906, the prohibition movement is able to catapult a lot further than people had imagined it might with the election of a reform governor by the name of Hoke Smith.
That's right. Hoke Smith is a Southern progressive. It's kind of interesting. I mean, he's opposed child labor. He's opposed convict labor. He's associated with progressivism. And he certainly helps push through the legislation calling for statewide prohibition well before the 18th Amendment, which was passed in 1919, which called for national prohibition. And interestingly enough, Georgia was the first state in a long time to kind of have statewide prohibition. And some other states followed on a statewide basis after Georgia and before national legislation was passed with the 18th Amendment in 1919.
The first statewide prohibition law had some loopholes in it. I mean, near beer was okay, and you could import it from another state.
Yeah, you know, it was still relatively easy to get booze in Georgia. There were these private clubs. Of course, there was always a flow of illegal moonshine from the North Georgia mountains and elsewhere. They did tighten up the laws, and I think it's in 1916 that any possession of alcohol becomes a crime in Georgia. They try to tighten it up. But of course, in Georgia, as well as the rest of the country, prohibition never was a success. There was always liquor that was flowing in. There was a very extensive liquor trade coming in and out of Atlanta. It was considered maybe the moonshine capital of the world.
At least on paper, though, the state of Georgia had the stiffest anti-alcohol law of any in the country.
That's right. And then even after national prohibition was repealed with the 21st Amendment in 1933, it's not until 1935, 2 years later, that Georgia repeals the 18th Amendment and approves the 21st Amendment, finally repealing alcohol in the state.
Cliff Kuhn, thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve.